There we go.
Thank you. We got there in the end. We got the right video in the end. How are we all doing? We all good? If we haven't met, my name is not Isaac. I don't know why Phil keeps calling me Isaac, although I've been called worse things, so I'm not offended. My name's Reuben. I'm the youth pastor here at Encounter Church, and that means I have the privilege and the honor of working with the teenagers of the church. And let me say this to any young adults in the room. If you guys want to be made to feel old, go into youth ministry. They will keep you on your toes, that's for sure. But I love it, it's the best. Now this morning's special, as Phil has already alluded to, because firstly, it's the first week of our Encounter Church summer series, Taking Steps That Count. And so every Sunday throughout August, we're gonna be gathering upstairs for family services. So there's no youth and kids programs. We're going to be gathering together as one big happy family. But there's going to be loads of cool, fun, engaging items for all ages. And in my opinion, the best part, are you ready for this? There's going to be some sweet treats after the service. Starting with a pick and mix. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at significant steps that we all take in our lives and in our journey of following Jesus. And what a journey that is. Would you agree? Do we have any step counters in the room? Anyone here keep track of how many steps you take every day? Oh, not loads of you. You got okay, one or two, yeah, a few smartwatches. Okay, raise your hands nice and high, let me see. Okay, let's have a look. If you do 1,000 steps a day, can you keep your hand in the air? Okay, that's pretty much everyone. What about 5,000 steps a day? Still? Okay, what about the big one? The one that everyone seems to aim for, I don't know why. Hands in the air if you do 10,000 steps a day. Okay, I'm impressed. We got some athletes in the house. I don't do anywhere near that. You know, before getting the job at the church and where I spend a lot of time in the office, sat at my desk, I worked in construction and I played football for a little bit. And that meant that I spent a lot of time on my feet, I was active. I didn't have to worry about step counts or calories or any of that nonsense. And then I started working in ministry. And do you know what Pastor Isaac, he's not with us today, do you know what his first piece of advice for me was about going into ministry? He said, you're going to need a gym membership. That was the best piece of advice he's given me. And he was right. And so I got one, but I just don't go. So the title, the kind of thought for this morning is Stepping Forward. And I want us to spend some time thinking about when God calls us to step forward, and when God calls us into something. So, if you have your Bibles, would you open them up with me to the book of Exodus? That's right, we're going Old Testament this morning. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 15. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry, we've got you covered. We've got the verse on the screen. So, before I read it, let me give you a little bit of context. So, at this point in the story, the Israelites, they'd been enslaved in Egypt, where they were kind of subject to really harsh manual labor. They were building all these structures. They were doing all the heavy lifting. And so, God sent Moses to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the king of Egypt. And he was to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and then lead the Israelites into the promised land. Okay, now Pharaoh took some convincing, okay? And it's a really long, drawn-out story that involves a staff turning into a snake and a river of blood and loads of frogs and loads of weird, weird things. We haven't got time to get into it. But eventually, Pharaoh caved, and Pharaoh was like, Moses, you're being kind of annoying, just go. Take the Israelites, take the people, and go, okay? And so Moses and the Israelites, they leave Egypt, they head into the promised land, and then Pharaoh changed his mind again. Do you have any indecisive people in the room? Just me? Not sure. Not sure. That is funny. Not sure. And so we pick up the story. Pharaoh's thinking, what am I doing? I've let the Israelites go. I need their services. And so he gets in his chariot, gets his army, and he goes after the Israelites, okay? And we pick up the story where the Israelites are kind of cornered. They've got the Egyptians on their tails, and they're facing this windy, wavy, choppy Red Sea. So, Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 15. You ready? Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And then skipping on to verse 21, it says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water to their right and to their left." Have you ever been asked to do something or gone into something not fully knowing how it's going to play out? Has anyone ever done that? Well, that's often what it's like with God, unfortunately. God is often a one step at a time God, where he'll say to you, "I want you to take this step forward." And if you're like me, then your response to that is usually, "God, I'll take the step, of course. I'll give you my yes, you have my obedience. But before I do that, I just need you to tell me, you know, where we're heading, what it's going to look like, what to expect. I need to see the big picture, and then I'll go." Okay? But that's not how God works. God is often a one step at a time God. And does he sometimes give us a picture or a vision of things to come? Yes. But even then, there's always an element of trust required, isn't there? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so God will often call us to take a step forward, not fully knowing what step 2 and 3 and 4 will look like. And we're called to trust him in that. And so I can't tell you what the future looks like in detail, but there are some things that we can be sure of. There are some promises that God has made us, and I want us to look at one or two of those this morning. But before we do that, you might be here and you might be thinking, "Well, how do I know if God is asking me to take a step forward? How do I know if this thought, this desire, this prompting, whatever you want to call it, how do I know if it's from God? Did I hear from God? Did God tell me to fill in the blank?" Firstly, I want to say it's okay to be uncertain, okay? Because only Phil has a direct line with God. The rest of us, we're all learning, right? But if you're like me, then you are very, very emotional and you're an overthinker. And so there are some questions that I like to ask myself when wondering, is this God asking me to take a step forward? Okay? And so the first question I ask is, does this align with Scripture? Okay? Because the words in the Bible, they're God-breathed, they're true, they're alive, they're active, they're sharp. And the Bible is described as a lamp to our feet. And so God is never going to call you to take a step forward. He's never going to ask you to do something that doesn't align with Scripture. Okay, so that's the first question I ask. Does it align with Scripture? The second question that I ask is, what do you think? What do you think? And what I mean by that is, I seek godly counsel. Okay? We are so emotionally involved in our own lives, shock, that sometimes it can cloud or it can influence what we think God might be saying. And so in those moments, I think it's often good to seek the guidance and the opinion of someone who's spiritually mature. You say, "Well, I think God is calling me to take this step. What do you think?" And seek their guidance. Seek godly counsel. And then the last question that I like to ask is, does it bring peace? Because God is a God of peace. The Bible says that God authors peace. God doesn't author confusion. He doesn't author chaos. He doesn't author calamity. He brings peace, okay? And so when God speaks, it's always accompanied with an inner peace. Even if it's challenging, even if it's not what you wanted God to say, it always comes with peace. And so they're the three questions I ask. Does it align with Scripture? I seek godly counsel. I ask people, what do you think? And does it bring peace? Okay, because if it causes stress or it causes anxiety, then I would suggest that that's not from God. So, okay. When we're confident, we've heard from God, and God has asked us to take a step forward. He's instructed us to take this step. We may not know fully how it's going to play out, run forward. But as I said before, there are certain things that we can be sure of. There are promises that God has made us that still stand even in the uncertainty of the future. And I think it's important that we know God's promises because they remind us who God is. They remind us what he's committed to do. And we know that God doesn't change. God doesn't fail. And he doesn't lie. And so all his promises are yes and amen. Okay? And so I want to look at two promises that God has made us that we can be sure of as we take this step forward. The first promise is that God will never leave us. God will never leave us. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that a comforting promise? In a world that's ever-changing and where relationships often feel conditional, I don't know if you guys feel that way as well, where people are constantly leaving, whether it's family or friends or even in death, we know that God will never leave. God will stay by our side. And he's with us in that next step, even as others walk away. And not only is this comforting, but it should give us courage. We should live unafraid because we know that as we take this step forward, God is going to be with us and he's going to be by our side. Now, does this mean that we will always feel God's presence? I wish I could say yes, but it doesn't. There may be times and seasons in your life, you might be in it right now, where God feels a million miles away. And you're thinking, God, where are you in this situation? But God is no less present in those moments. Sometimes in charismatic circles, and I'm going to pick on my own kind a little bit because I'm a charismaniac, but we focus a lot on feelings, don't we? And so you hear people say things like, "Worship felt amazing this morning," or "I really feel God's presence." And that's great. I'm so here for that. I say those things myself. And I believe that God wants us to experience him. I believe that God wants us to feel his closeness. He wants us to feel his nearness. But there are also times where God doesn't feel close. And it's in those moments that we have to take God at his word and we say, "God, I don't feel you right now, but you said that you'd never leave me. So thank you that you're with me in this. Thank you that you're by my side." Because the Father, he forsook Jesus on the cross so that he'll never leave or forsake you. Isn't that a comforting promise? So as we take this step forward, God won't leave us. The second promise that he gives us is that God is going to work all things out for your good. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." So God orchestrates everything for the good of those who love him. That means that no matter what life throws at you, the highs, the lows, the mountains, the valleys, God is going to work it out for your good. Do you know that God is for you? He's not against you. He's on your team in this next step. And notice that it says all things. It doesn't just say the pleasant things, the things that are going swimmingly. God works all things. The things that hurt, the painful things, the things that you didn't expect. I'd go as far to say, the things that God doesn't cause, he'll work it out for your good. What an amazing promise that is. So he'll never leave you, and he'll work all things out for your good as you take this step forward. Now, these promises, they're not just nice little reminders or nice Instagram captions for the teenagers in the room. They're not just nice post-it notes to put on your mirror, although I would suggest you do that. These are life-giving truths. And they anchor you. When life's storm comes, these truths will anchor you. And so I end with this. In this story, the Israelites, they were enslaved, they were oppressed, they were being hunted down, chased down by the Egyptians. And maybe you feel like right now, trouble is just coming at you from every angle. But later on in the story, if you read on, God asks the Israelites to cross another body of water. And he asked them to cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land. But what I find interesting about this instance is that he asks the Israelites to collect stones and put them in a pile. And the stones were there to serve as a reminder of what God had done. A reminder that of God, his provision and his protection, his deliverance. And to everyone else, it just might made it look like a pile of rubble. But to the Israelites, this was a constant reminder that God is faithful. And I thought, well, why would he do that? Why would he make them put the stones down? And I think the reason that God made them put this pile of stones down is because God knew that in the future, further down the line, there would be times where he would ask them to take a step forward, even if it didn't make sense. And in those moments, the Israelites would be able to look at the stones and say, oh yeah, he's faithful. I can trust him. I can trust him with this next step. You know, testimonies are so powerful. Do you agree? There's a psalm written by King David. It says, I was young and now I'm old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And so I may not know what this next step looks like for me. I may not know how God is going to provide or make a way or deliver or restore, whatever it is that I need him to do. I may not know that. But what I do know is that when I look back over my life and I look at all those times that God has asked me to take a step forward, firstly, I recognize this feeling. I've had these questions before. I've had these doubts before. But also, and I end with this, he's only ever been faithful. Time and time and time again, he's been faithful. And so, would you turn to the screen and we're gonna watch a video, and then I'm gonna hand it over to Phil.
I believe in the Big Bang. God said bang, and everything was created. Let me show you what I mean. This is us here on the earth. And we live in this amazing place called the habitable zone. It's one of the unique places in the whole galaxy, the whole universe, where life can exist. Crazy that we live right here. Closer to the sun, we'd all be toast. There's a highly qualified piece of black toast. But we'd also be popsicles over here. It's not just where it is in the galaxy, it's also how it's tilted. The Earth is at a perfect 23 and a half degree angle. This is where we get our seasons. It's tilted just perfectly so the rays of the sun and all the harmful radiation actually bounces off. It even goes deeper than that though. Plants and trees, they give off something called oxygen, and that's what humans need in order to live. We have this perfect little balance of life between us and the rest of the planet. Clearly, there's a designer here. And it's more than just design. The beauty of it, mountains and sunsets and flowers, it just screams that there is a creator and there is a God. Here's the thing. I could give you reason after reason that probably God exists. And you're not some big cosmic accident. But I think it's so much more than that. I think it's more than just believing that God exists. I've done that for a long time. Really, the question is, do you trust him? Faith isn't just having blind hope, but faith is putting our trust in God, even in the uncertain or difficult times. Really, faith is trusting God through each step of our life. What we're really trying to say is the faith that we have in God, I mean, he ordered this amazing universe. He keeps us alive and holds it all together so perfectly and in such amazing order. And God, I trust you to have that type of order and control and care in my life. There's a verse in the book of Hebrews that talks about how faith is essential. And God rewards those who will use their faith to trust in him. I realize that sounds simple, right? And saying it to you is simple, and living it out is much more difficult. Like, I have faith in one moment, and then I have doubts. I have trust in the next moment, and then there's tragedy. I've been in youth ministry a long time, and I've heard that bad news or that sad story over and over again, and it breaks my heart. And to be honest, it tests my faith too. I sometimes have doubts, but I want to let you know that as we trust God, he will reward us for our faith in him. I don't know what you're going to face this week. Who knows what that next step is going to entail? But I do know this, I sure hope you have faith.
Thanks, Reuben. Thanks for sharing that, and very clear. And It's good for us at times, I think. I've been a Christian for many years, and some of you have been Christians for many years, so some of you, it is quite new. But one thing that is really exciting, that God has always got next steps for us, and there's new things for us. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They will inevitably mean steps of faith. And it's very sad when Christians, when believers will decide to stop taking those next steps. And God has got next steps for each of us, but they often take steps of faith. And Reuben was very encouraging that God will always be with us, and he sees the bigger picture. And maybe this morning that you have sensed that God is saying, step forward into something. Step forward into a new thing within him. Maybe it's about serving him in a certain way. Maybe it's about resolving a situation and we need to take the step that honors him, how he wants us to work it through. He will not allow us not to take steps of faith. So in a moment, the band's going to lead us in a final song called Firm Foundations. And it's good to know that even though Moses was stepping into water, it was a firm foundation because it was a promise of God. Why don't we stand to our feet and we'll pray, and then the band will lead us in this song just to finish. Why don't we just close our eyes just to reflect a moment? Because maybe this morning in what's been shared just reminds you of a step forward that you possibly need to take. Or maybe within your heart you're saying, God, in this situation, what is the step that I need to take? You're not sure of the step, but you're saying, God, what step do I need to take here? Why don't you just bring that to the Lord at the moment as I pray? Lord, we do thank you that you have so many new things for us. Life is not always easy, but Lord, in you it's an amazing adventure that you are with us. And there's times when you prompt us to take steps of faith. And Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, that for those steps that you are causing us to take or prompting us to take at the moment, that they will be prominent in our minds and within our thinking. And we'd have the courage and the ability to trust you to take that step. And maybe this morning, if something does come to mind for you specifically, maybe you just want to pray and say, God, I know what you're asking me to do. I'm going to take that step. Father, do pray that clarity will well up within our minds, faith would well up within our hearts, and we thank you, Lord, that as we trust you, you fill us with joy and peace. Lord, we thank you for the adventure that you have for us, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.